Last Word on Today FM.
Last Word in TV and streaming. We're joined tonight not just by Elaine Burke and Joe O'Shea, but our own Kate Henshaw. Like Elaine, stayed up watching the Oscars show last night, which, by the way, you can see in edited highlights on RT2 tonight from 9:30. And of course, the reason many people stayed up was to be sure that Kerry woman Jessie Buckley actually did win the Best Actress Oscar.
I would like to dedicate this to the beautiful chaos of a mother's heart. We all come from a lineage of women who continue to create against all odds. Thank you for recognising me in this role. This is the greatest honour. I can't even believe it. Gurv mila mila mahagut slán.
So how was it for you, Kate? Was it worth staying up watching it all?
I think it was. I mean, I was a bit disappointed that there was no Slapgate incident or reading out the wrong name. The last time I actually didn't stay up for the Oscars was the infamous Will Smith slapping Chris Rock, and I swore never to do it again. So I suppose the tiredness is worth it, just in case. But it was lovely to see Jessie win. I mean, I think she was firm favourite the entire season, the entire award season, but just there's always that little bit of nerve. What if she doesn't do it? What if there's some massive upset? There have been those kind of upsets.
If those comments about the cats would come back to haunt her.
Yeah, if the cat comments, I mean, I wasn't a big fan of the cat comments, to be honest, but I was just so happy to see her do it. And she dedicated the award to mothers everywhere, which is really nice on Mother's Day as well.
What was it like for you, Elaine?
It was a big night for the mammies, I think. So there was Jessie's speech, and then there was Autumn Durrell, Arkapow. That was an amazing moment. She won Best Cinematographer. A woman is rarely even nominated in that category. There's very few women even top of that industry.
Why
so
is that?
Male dominated. Ask Hollywood. Big problems there, genuinely. It's always been like heavily male focused, and that she came out and won the award, and Ryan Coogler, who directed the film she won for, Sinners, ran back to get her son, who was further back in the audience, to put him up front so he could watch her do her acceptance speech. It was just such a gorgeous moment. And then Michael B. Jordan is there with his mom. He brings his mom everywhere, and he's like saying thanks to his mom when he wins his award, and it was great to see him take Best Actor. Sinners was my favourite film, and I wanted to see them take Best Picture. But then again, One Battle After Another was also a great film last year, so I wasn't sad to see Paul Thomas Anderson take it. He's been nominated so many times and not won as a director. And normally when they get that kind of like, it's your time, you're overdue award, it's not for their best film, but One Battle After Another is one of his best films, I think. So I'm not sad about that result, but I did want to see even more from Sinners.
Okay, what about you, Joe O'Shea? Were you up all night watching it?
No, I did my traditional thing, which is I wake up early the next morning and I watch all the clips on social media, because you get all the highlights that way and you don't have to stay up all night. They might get the money to make two Battle After Another now, having won all of those prizes last night. But I thought there was a lot of interesting things about the Oscars, just watching it the next day and watching all the clips and reading about all the winners and so forth. One of the things was, it's 10 years since Oscar So White. Do you remember that? The controversy. That was in 2015 or more than 10 years. So that was in 2015 when there was no ethnic diversity whatsoever in the Oscars, and it became this big social media thing. And the Oscars Academy promised to change and promised to kind of widen the net and bring more people in. And I think you really saw that last night. Probably because of Sinners, which has largely an African-American cast. But I thought there was a real fantastic representation right across. You saw a lot of, even K-pop, getting such a big shout-out as well. The other thing was Conan O'Brien did a fantastic job from everything that I've seen, all of the clips that I watched from the show.
Oh, you walked into
really
this
good
one, Joe. You should have seen the looks on the faces of your fellow contributors here in studio.
He's a natural. He's brilliant. They should give him the job for life.
Absolutely
Conan O'Brien was fantastic.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a couple of things there. Just before I get to that Conan O'Brien thing, you see, Joe, it's very interesting that you said about that you didn't watch it overnight. I know a lot of people who wouldn't stay up overnight, but who might watch it this evening, the edited highlights. But is it even worth doing it now if, like you, everyone has seen all these little clips on social media?
I think the people who watch the edited highlights are watching for a whole lot of different reasons. And part of the reason is to see the glamour, the excitement, the spectacle. Yes, you probably know who won at this stage. Everybody knows that Jessie Buckley won. But everybody knew she was going to win a month ago. I wonder what she did if she went home and kind of mistreated some cats last night. Maybe, I don't know, she might have, just as a celebration. But
I don't think so. Joe, immediately
retract. She's notorious that way. I think she was waiting. No, she's not any chance you give her with Jessie with cats, but seriously, it's just it's So I think people are definitely going to watch it. And I think, you know, it's a lot of fun. The glamour is great and everything. And I think Conan O'Brien doing such a great job. The jokes, the digs, everything. And Jimmy Kimmel getting wheeled on basically to have a go at Trump. That was fantastic as
okay.
well.
Okay. John in Cork says three words to define how bad the Oscars were. Conan O'Brien. I had planned to stay up to watch it, but I almost lost the will to live. Let's just hear a little bit of Conan O'Brien. One particular joke about explaining the Oscars to Gen Z in a way that they can understand.
Of course, we here at the Oscars are always trying to figure out ways to reach a younger demographic. And I've been assured this next segment will do just that. When you're host-masking the Oscars and low-penuringly trying to riz up the younger demographic by going brain rot mode, and even though you're unk-coded with a bunch of fame-filled NPCs, you're still S-tier level aura farming 6-7. Well, that's a message that the young people will definitely see watching broadcast television.
One listener says Conan O'Brien is a genius. People are not happy with him or a dose. Kate.
I guess I'm a dose then, and I'm okay with that. I thought that these Gen Z jokes, I am Gen Z. I was up watching the Oscars on broadcast TV.
Oh, you didn't get offended. You weren't being a snowflake about it, were you?
I just think they're not funny. I mean, like, har, 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 people watching films through their phones. Like, is that really the best way for us to think about how we can best revive aspects of the film industry that maybe have been impacted by technology? I just don't think it is. And especially, it was just so cringe.
It was meant to be cringe. It was meant to be cringe. And I think you're snowflake maxing.
There's a way of doing cringe comedy, and it's like Tim Robinson level good, and that's way better. Yeah. And Conan did not hit those marks at all. He is better than that performance that he got last night. I am actually a huge Conan O'Brien fan, and I think he's better than that. What you get at the Oscars, and you have to remember this, guys, especially if you stay for the 3.5 hour ceremony as we did, it is inherently an industry awards show. It is going to be effectively boring for great, huge parts of it. And the comedy is written by committee, you know, because they're going to be playing it safe and all sorts of walks. And Conan didn't get to just write and say whatever he wanted to on stage.
He's not like Ricky Gervais.
Or like anyone else who like would have taken up that job and then found out that actually I need to get these jokes approved by a committee of people before they go to air. They're not going to take any chances because it's a massive worldwide global live event. So all of that taken in mind, I think he did it. He did exactly the kind of job I was expecting, to be fair. I think that's what you get from Oscars hosts these years. At least it wasn't nearly as bad as Anne Hathaway and James Franco. Like, that was a train wreck.
That was woeful.
Never again. I think he did a decent job.
Listener comments. Conan O'Brien, Jimmy Kimmel, two massively overpaid American TV stars who don't know of any world outside of the US. Not funny. Hang on. Wasn't Conan O'Brien once on Ross Naroon? He knows about life outside
Irish
of
culture,
Ireland.
Yeah.
Another one says, Gen Z have no sense of humour. Mick in Cork says, so totally snowflake maxing. Gen Z joke was not for the Gen Zs. Conan is a genius.
I'm not Gen Z and I thought it was a bad joke. Like, it just was flat. And like saying 6-7, guys, that's so over. Please stop making jokes about how young people talk. It is so tired. Like, these aren't original. And I will say as well, can we shut up about the whole the industry is crumbling narrative? Because the only thing that's crumbling is the big fat checks for production houses. Lots of people still love going to the cinema and it's still a wonderful art form that's much appreciated, so they can shut up about that as well.
And Sinners actually demonstrates that really, really well, because Sinners became this cultural phenomenon where you had this very limited cinema run, and because people kept going, you know, even 2, 3, 4, 5 times, which is something Michael B. Jordan said in his acceptance speech, he specifically thanked people who went back to the cinema and kept going back and gave them this massive long run, which became this, it became what, I mean, the movie wouldn't have been sitting at the Oscars last night with 16 nominations if it wasn't for this cultural phenomenon that was born of people going to the cinema. Cinema is not dead at all. I think the way we talk about it doesn't help it, though.
Yeah, Sinners is a very, very enjoyable movie.
So fun. If you haven't seen it and you're listening,
it's really good.
It's like nothing I've ever seen before. Absolutely. And that's why I wanted to see it win an Oscar, because it was so original. And you don't get a lot of originality these days.
Or a lot of horror success at the Oscars, for that matter. I mean, it's very nice that the Oscars seem to have gotten a little bit over some of the snobbiness they have around the horror genre and it awarding Sinners in some way.
And Amy Madigan winning for Weapons, that's a good one as well.
Well, this listener says, please give a good Taliban, Richard Banham, his due. 3 Oscars, unreal.
Three.
And he gave a good meal of Margot on stage.
Yeah. That is incredible. I mean, to three Oscars is just, you know, that is, you're the top of your game. You're absolutely a legend in the business now. So it's an incredible achievement for him.
He did suffer from the mic being withdrawn, which happened to a lot of people. They just popped the mic down into the stage and it looked like he forgot to thank someone who was panicking in that moment. But hopefully he got to thank them in his many, many interviews I'm sure he had to do afterwards.
Okay. Dennis listener says, Marty Supreme was robbed. Timothy Chalamet robbed.
No, he was beaten by Michael B. Jordan fair and square. Sorry, Timothy.
But was
Michael B. Jordan's really a great performance? It was a great movie, really enjoyable. Was it really great acting?
Two great performances. He played two versions of a different character.
One of my favourite performances in the last decade, at least. I think Michael B. Jordan hit every single note with both of those characters in every way. Those characters were similar and different. I was so, so impressed. And I'm still thinking about it nearly a year later after walking out of the cinema.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, look, that's the Oscars. We need to get to other things in TV and streaming as well. Joe, give us your pick of the week, please.
Yeah, it's on BBC Two tonight at 9 p.m. Something very different from the Oscars, but very relevant to Irish people. Because as we know, we have the European headquarters of Twitter, Meta and TikTok in Dublin, right? So we have a huge, huge social media presence in Dublin. This is called Inside the Rage Machine, 9 p.m. BBC Two tonight. It's an undercover look at how Meta operates, right? So we've got reporter Mariana Spring. She got some ex-Meta employees, some Facebook and Meta employees, some very high up as well, who are kind of now kind of telling the inside story of how Meta, Facebook, Instagram, how it uses algorithms and it concentrates on hate and divisiveness to drive engagement, and to the point where it, you know, it's been involved in some horrible, horrible incidents and some, you know, political events that have gone on around the world that are shocking, really. So again, for Irish people, like, you know, our government and our regulators are supposed to be involved as the kind of as the host country for these guys, and there are people who the argument could be made, we're not doing a very good job now, especially after Grok and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. So Inside the Rage Machine, 9 p.m, BBC Two tonight. Fascinating watch.
And we will be talking about Metica during the Last Word in Business with Ian Guider, because apparently it's going to get rid of up to 1/5 of all of its staff to put the money into AI instead. What's your pick of the week, Elaine?
It is Seachtain na Gaeilge, and I'm trying to immerse myself in more of the Irish language, and I find it does help to do that, and I'm understanding more than I expected to. So I'm going to give a go to Slán go Fiol. Not only is it a great pun, but I like the idea of this programming. It's on RT1 tonight at 8:30, and then there's four parts to the series that will follow. It follows a group of Irish-speaking carnivores in Donegal as they give up meat for an entire month. So I'll get a bit of Irish language and I'll get some tips for going meat-free. So that's a win-win for me.
Okay. Both of you have also mentioned Turbulence, the story of Ryanair, and we will have one of its contributors, Michael Corcoran, with us in just a few moments' time. But I think, in fairness, Elaine, both you and I feature in this particular documentary.
Yeah, a bit biased
well.
To be recommending that now. Yeah.
Are you in the first one or second one?
I don't know which one I'm in, so I have to watch to take a little surprise.
Joe, you're interested in that, I believe, are you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Ryanair is such a huge, huge part of all our lives and has been. And it's an Irish success story. It's an Irish business, an Irish idea, Irish men and women that changed how we travel, you know, change the holiday, change air travel. So I think it's on RT1 9:35 tonight after the news, and the second part I think is on next Monday as well. So I think fascinating documentary.
Well, as I said, we will have Michael Corcoran with us, who was the head of social media for a number of years in Ryanair, to talk about his part in that and the use of social media by Ryanair. That's coming up in a few moments' time. So thank you very much, Elaine Burke, Kate Henshaw, Joe O'Shea.
The Last Word on Today FM.